Well, while we continue chatting with John Russell about A Knock in the Attic, True Ghost Stories and Other Spine-Chilling Paranormal Activities, his book, we'll take your calls this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Spooky time. And welcome back to Coast. John Russell with us, his book, A Knock in the Attic. John, you've had some strange experiences with the heavenly stars. What is that? What happened?
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you. Some really bizarre things that makes me wonder and should make everybody question who and what is up there and what is actually controlling the stars and what disguises themselves as stars.
What happened?
Well, and this is written about in Writing with Ghosts. After I had come home from a day's adventure on the bike and tons of incredible paranormal experiences, I was sitting outside that evening and listening to music, looking up at the clear sky and the stars and enjoying music, and all of a sudden, these two stars quickly merged together and then raced toward me in the sky, and I was like, okay, I've either got to be seeing double or hallucinating or whatever, and I looked around and everything was in sharp, clear focus. Nothing else looked double. Nothing else seemed out of sorts. I looked back up. And there the stars were. And the only way I can describe it, George, was it looked like two eyes coming close and staring at me and looking right at me. And as I looked at them, then they receded back into the sky and split back apart and resumed their normal stationary positions. And I was like, okay. Now, this was in response to a request I had made of crop circle intelligences that day, which resulted in, for those that will read Writing with Ghost Angels and the Spirits of the Dead, resulted in a plethora of incredible supernatural experiences that day, some of which had to do with grass. So that was the culmination of that, and it was like, okay, these intelligences either inhabit or control not only what happens here, but also in the heavens. And then another incident that related to the stars that way was, and I've never even written about this, and I haven't even told anybody about this much. When I was married to my second wife, we had this apartment with a balcony, and I would sit out there at night, and I've always loved to gaze up at the stars ever since I was a kid. So I was sitting out there having a libation, looking up at the stars, and this one star was kind of reddish in appearance. And I just had a funny feeling, and I looked at it, and I waved. And when I waved at it, it pulsed two or three times in response. And I said, okay, and I waved at it again, and it pulsed back at me two or three times in response. Well, the wife was running back and forth through the bedroom there that was adjacent to the balcony, and she saw me, and she came out, and she goes, what in the world are you doing? I said, waving at that star up there. She said, what? I said, look. And I waved at it, and it pulsed two or three times. And I waved at it again. It pulsed back at me two or three times. He said, okay.
That's funny.
The house.
When I was a kid, John, I tried to will stars to move out of their position. I never was able to. They never moved. But I kept looking at them going, move. Move over there.
Well, that's like cloud busting. You know, we can do cloud busting where you sit outside and you focus your mind and you see this ray of energy going toward this cloud and breaking it up. And you can make a cloud absolutely evaporate. I've done that several times. I've taught it to people and made them do that. But, so whatever's up there with the stars, something's going on with the stars themselves. And then one time I saw a falling star. Now, we know stars are our sun is a star. They're round balls of gas, energy, whatever, right? There's nothing pentacle-shaped up there in the heavens as far as we know. That's how we were taught to draw stars as a kid in kindergarten. You draw the pentagram, and there's a star, you know, and that's how we made little stars up in our drawings. So one time when I was a kid, we had gone to these neighbor's house and had parked facing this vacant lot, and we visited with them and left when it was just getting the darkest stages of twilight. You'd need the car lights on to see. And we were getting into our car, and this big, huge, when I say huge, is as big as the size of a side of a house, this five-pointed star came slowly falling down through the sky toward this vacant lot right in front of us, kind of trailing a little phosphorus yellow tail behind it, and perfectly shaped, a perfect pentagram, perfectly five-shaped star. It looked like it was about maybe a foot thick, and it was flat. It wasn't bulbous. and again, as large as the side of a house, very big. And it fell down into that vacant lot, and this was summer in West Texas, so dry weeds, grass, and trees, and you'd expect something to set something on fire. And it didn't. It just slowly winked out, and the energy, the light all went away, and darkness returned, and that was it. So lots of strange things going on in the heavens.
Now, you would consider yourself still a paranormal investigator, right?
Absolutely, and I'm one of the most skeptical psychics you'll ever run across.
I picked that up. Now, but what do you do when you go to a place? How do you handle it?
Well, the first thing I do is if I'm just going on my own, I just go and let my retinue of spirits guide me and connect with the spirits there and find out what's happening and so on and so forth. If I'm going like to film a documentary, if I'm going at the request of someone, they want me to find out what's happening in a particular place. Like there was a haunted horse barn one time up in the Northeast that someone asked me to come and investigate. And I went and I talked to the people and asked them, you know, tell me what you're experiencing, what's going on. And then psychically from there, I tune in on that and make sense for them out of what is happening and why. And then I continue to conduct a paranormal investigation where I ask these presences to manifest, to give us evidence that they're there, and then see what they're attempting to communicate and so on and so forth. And we usually have several manifestations. I'm usually able to get like names of people that were there and are deceased, but people can verify. There are a lot of entities, spirits, whatever, that still hang around. They come through with messages for people and so on. And so that's basically how I conduct an investigation. But it all has to be, it either has to make sense or it doesn't. And it has to be practical. There can't be any pie in the sky, buy and buy stuff. And there can't be any ridiculous, outrageous claims. It's like if somebody says, every night at 8 o'clock a UFO comes down, picks me up, and we go for a ride, I'm going to be there at 8 o'clock waiting on the ride. And if I'm there at 8 o'clock for a week and nothing happens, I'm going to call BS. You know, so like I say, I'm one of the most skeptical paranormal investigators and psychics there is for all the experiences I've had, and I think that's one of the things that's made me so skeptical is let's get to the truth, let's get to the reality, let's find out what is real, what isn't, what's really happening, what's not, what's the product of someone's imagination. Some people will lie. Some people will just outright make
sure
stuff to get attention
happens.
And lie. So, like I say, I'm one of the most skeptical psychics you'll ever meet.
Would you consider yourself a debunker?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, I could mention a famous name, but that would be kind of stepping on some toes, perhaps. But let's put it this way. There's a lot of well-known psychics out there that aren't worth the paper they're written on. I'll put it like that.
Yet you do believe in the psychic energy because you're one.
I am one of them, absolutely. But there are a lot of phonies and a lot of frauds out there. There's a lot of people that will take something that is meant to be a genuine gift that can help people, and they will play on that in the same way that all con artists and phonies do. They will learn the jargon. They will learn the typical things that a psychic or paranormal investigator experiences, and then they will adapt that to take advantage of people. And that goes back to those $850 readings. And
yes, which is ludicrous.
It's more than ludicrous. I had one of the famous people that charged $850. I got several of that person's clients. Several of that person's clients called me, and they would tell me, John, I don't know who they were reading for, but it sure wasn't me. And one of the people that I was talking to, I was saying how ridiculous it was to pay $850 an hour. And she said, oh, honey, it's not $850 an hour. It's $850 the reading. And the reading may last 10 minutes, and then they're done, and there you go. And I was like, oh, my God, that's even worse. So, you know, there's a lot of phonies out there. There's a lot of frauds. It aggravates me. It irritates me. It angers me. I'm constantly having to rescue people that have gotten involved with these phonies, and sometimes to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars. I've talked about this on many, many shows I've been on. It's something I've always railed against. And just the other day, a dear friend of mine came to me and said, man, we were recommended to these people that were supposed to be good psychics and spend a lot of money, and now here we are. What do we do? And so this still goes on, and there's a lot of phonies, a lot of frauds out there. And then there's people you have to watch when you get a psychic reading. There are people that may have a little bit of a gift, may be pretty good, but they have a bias, and they will filter what comes through that bias. Maybe they don't like a particular race. Maybe they don't like a particular religion. Maybe they don't like a particular this or that. Maybe they're anti-gay. Maybe they're pro-gay, and everything goes through a pro-gay filter or whatever. So whatever that bias is, they filter what information comes through that, and that skews it. They want you to do it their way. And so when I give a reading to somebody, I get the information from the other side. I give it to you unfiltered as they give it to me. And do with it what you will. You may not like it. I tell my clients, I don't guarantee your satisfaction in a reading. I don't offer refunds. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm not going to tell you the way you want to hear it. I will give you the truth. And the great thing about that, I had clients that they would call me up, and they would, these women, a pair of friends that I read for years and years and years, and they would go, you know, when the chips are down and we really need honest-to-God truth, who are we going to call? We're going to call John. We're going to call John Russell because we know he's going to give it to us straight. He's not going to lie to us. He's not going to tell us what we want to hear. May not be what we want to hear, but we know he's going to give it to us right, and it's going to be the truth, and it's going to help us. So that's what I do in my readings. It's not to make you feel good. It's not to give you pie in the sky. It's not to build up your ego. It's not tell you everything's going to be okay. It's going to tell you the truth about what's happening in your life, why you're where you're at, where you're going, what the other side shows me for in your future, and how to react to that in the best possible ways.
And is price a barometer of who's good and who isn't?
Absolutely not. Because
I mean, the higher the price, the worse they are as a psychic.
Sometimes I think that's the case because, like with the person that charged that $850 a reading, every one of their clients that came to me said, you know, I don't know who they were reading for, but it sure wasn't me. There wasn't a thing that was right or a thing that was accurate. And all of these people, I asked them, you know, well, what about my reading? Like, oh, God, you blew my hair back. You were 100% as far as insights and things that you had. And then people would call me back and say, yes, your predictions happened. Your predictions hit. So price is not an indicator. And people ask me, you know, why my price is so low, basically.
What do you charge, if I can ask?
I charge $125 for 30 minutes. And people say, you know, if you're any good, how can you get away with that? And it's like, well, I've kept it that way for all these years because I deliver an honest service at an honest price. I deliver something that's affordable to people. I have to charge for my time. If I'm going to do that, I'm not charging for the gift. I'm charging for my time.
Right.
People
right.
want me to read for them and to do this for them. I have to pay the bills. I can't go in the supermarket and say, hey, you know, I've read for clients in over 30 countries. I'm internationally known. I've been on George Norrie twice. And, oh, that's great. Here's your grocery bill, $147.32, you know.
Well, you know, I think most people expect to you know, pay a psychic for a reading. But $850 is a little outrageous.
That's more than outrageous. It's just ridiculous. If you're charging that much, you better have exact names, dates, and places, and they better all hit.
Right.
And you might even better be able to
and give that. And I was going to say that give that guy some financial money advice.
Give that guy some money, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's just ludicrous. It's just ridiculous. And a lot of these people, what people don't understand, that will get caught up by a lot of these phonies in person, like, you know, the people with a $10 special reading sign in their windows and stuff like that. These people will do sleight of hand magic, and to people that are uninitiated, that don't know, it looks like a genuine paranormal miracle has occurred right in front of their very eyes.
Right.
And all the person is doing sleight of hand magic, and then they pray on that, and okay, well, look, so you've got the curse. You pick the egg out, we cracked it open, here's the evil, this black fuzzy stuff, and you know, but me, you pick the egg, well, that's the oldest magic trick on the planet, and from there, they begin to con you into more and more increasing amounts of money to get rid of these assumed curses. And, you know, people, I always tell my clients, I say, look, any given day at any given time, no matter how good your life is, no matter how much money you make, I can tell you, oh, I see darkness around you. Have you been tired today? No. Do you feel sick? Well, no. Have you had a bad occurrence? Well, I went out and the tire was flat. I see, there you go. Look, any of us have got some degree of bad luck every day of our lives, and these people know that, and they prey on that, and they're just going to keep going until they hit the right thing. Oh, well, there you go. You had the flat tire. That's evidence that bad luck's coming your way. Well, I don't know. Well, you know, have you had a relative around you that's felt ill? Well, my mom was sick last week. Oh, well, see, there you go. Now we got to explore this thing. We got to see what evil is around you, and then I can get rid of it for a few $1,000s, you know. And when that doesn't work, well, the spirits have shown me there was greater evil around you than even I imagine, and we're going to have to spend more here. Now, understand, you're not spending this money on me. We're donating this money to the spirits. We have to make them a feast. We have to buy food. We have to buy liquor. We have to donate to certain things. So the money's not for me. It's for the spirits. And that's how they reel people in, and you'd be surprised. The more intelligent you are, the smarter you are, sometimes the easier it is to fall for it.
Let's go to Mimi in Midland, Texas, and then we'll take as many calls as we can before the break. And next week, next hour, next half, actually, we're almost done with the show. We'll take more calls. Hi, Mimi. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
Okay.
We have survived this ice storm out here.
Oh, good for you. I was going to ask you about that. So you're okay?
Well, I ran out of food.
Yeah.
Liquid luck kicked in, and five people showed up the next day that didn't even know, bringing me food.
Perfect.
But anyway, I have a ghost story.
Oh, good.
I was wondering where John was from in West Texas.
Mimi, I'm close to your old stomping grounds, actually. I'm from San Angelo over in West Texas. So we're neighbors there, old neighbors.
We sure are.
Yeah.
Let me see. This is kind of an unusual, even for me.
Okay, we only have 2 minutes left, Mimi, so do it quick.
Okay. I was alone one night, and I'm a person that can sit with no sound or anything else, and I began to feel a really odd energy coming up from my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never felt it before. And it went on and went on, and my husband got home, and I told him, you know, what was happening. And about that time, I walked into the other room and looked up in the corner, and a spirit, and I don't see these full-blown apparitions or anything like that.
Right.
I see kind of a silver ball, if they're a good one.
Right.
And it looks kind of like a Nerf ball, but solid.
Sure.
And I saw this huge one come at full bore through my house and out the other side.
Mm-hmm.
To make a long story short, I flipped on the news, and this little girl had been murdered.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And that's who it was.
You saw her spirit. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
How receptive do people have to be, John, to pick those things up?
Well, I always tell people we do have to be in quiet. We do have to be receptive. And the way to do that, you know, we're always plugged in. We're always on our cell phone, or we're listening to music. We're on the phone. We've got the TV going. We've got music in the background. We can't hear anything physically, much less supernaturally, spiritually. And to do that, to be receptive, you have to be quiet. Get away from your cell phone. Turn off your laptop, your computers, your music, your everything, and get quiet. And when it's quiet, you can hear. And not only can you hear physically, you can hear spiritually. You can hear the voice of spirit sometimes audibly. You can hear the voice of spirit with your intuition much better when it's quiet, because then we are quiet and receptive, and that's what you have to do.
Okay, we're going to come back and take final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk about some doomsday prepping. Make sure you're part of the program. And then paranormal pop culture should be fun, so I'm looking forward to that program. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our final segment with John Russell. His websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. His book is A Knock in the Attic. But my ghosts tell me you're working on a third book, John.
I am working on a third book. This is going to be a lot of fun. My wife calls it a paranormal toolbox. You can open it up and take out what you need. The title of the third book, when it comes out, is going to be 20 Ways to Increase Your Psychic Abilities. And what I have done in this book, what I'm doing in this book, I'm currently writing it, is I'm taking everything that I have learned over my years as a psychic and as a paranormal investigator and finding what actually works, and then I'm putting that into book form in lessons chapter by chapter. For example, the first chapter, I teach you how to learn and perform psychometry. successfully. And so I go through all of these spiritual tools and techniques. And the reason that I teach you these things to learn, it's not just a neat party trick you can do. There are practical, real-world applications that you can extend these tools and techniques to once you learn them. So it's not just something neat to do, like you won't just be able to grab a friend's ring and go, oh, look, you bought this at such and such a place and all this, and amaze people at parties. That's not the idea. The idea is to learn that technique, to get it refined to the point that then you can turn around and use it in real-world applications to know when somebody's telling you the truth or not, for example, whether you should go a certain place or not, sign a certain contract or not, those types of things. I get in detail into dream interpretation, how to perform that successfully. There's going to be a lot of neat chapters on a lot of neat stuff, 20 chapters altogether, 20 ways to increase your psychic abilities. Hopefully that'll be out around the end of this year, maybe the early part of next year, but right now everybody can grab my books that are out now. They can get them at Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble. They're all over the Internet. Writing with Ghosts, Angels, and the Spirits of the Dead is even online at Walmart. And people can go to my websites to check out more if they want to learn more. It's writingwithghosts.net, knockintheattic.net, and then for my readings, it's johnrussell.net.
All right. Carol is in New Haven, Connecticut. Hi, Carol. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Mr. Russell, Ms. Nori. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'll make it quick. You can give me an idea whether or not you've experienced the same thing before. And then I've got a quick question afterward concerning this. What happened to me was I was in a big shopping warehouse, and here I am just shopping, and then I get this horrible feeling of dread, and you know, like what must be evil. And I look up, and 75 feet away, there's this man just staring directly into my eyes, and I feel that he is sending this directly to me when nobody else is paying any attention to this.
Right.
And I wasn't scared or anything like that. I just said, don't you do that. You're not going to hurt me. Don't you take a step closer towards me. I said, if you can make me feel this way, I'm just going to send these feelings that I have right back to you.
Right.
And he continued to stare and make eye contact with me for what seemed like the longest time, which must have been like just 1 minute. That's all. And the only reason why it broke off was because some woman came up to him and said, I know she said to him, come on, we've got to go, and I shouldn't have been able to hear that. Well, my question is that the reason why I was able to, you know, respond like that is because I have had several of my own major psychic events happen in my life, and that I could get, you know, if he can direct these horrible feelings towards me that I've never had before, that I can just direct my own feelings back to him. Like
yeah,
psychic
yeah,
feelings that say, you're not going to hurt me.
Right.
And
yeah, that's the
it.
Attitude that we should all have, and we should all be proactive in listening to the guidance that we get, because that's your guardian angel saving you right there. And obviously, this person may have been a couple that abducted people, that kidnapped people, that tortured, killed people, whatever. So that's your, when you feel that evil emanating from a person, when you feel someone sending that to you, obviously the first thing you want to do is strike back psychically yourself and send that energy back and send positive energy. And then you always want to safeguard yourself physically, always make sure that there's an escape route that you have, that there's someone you can go to for protection. I encourage people to carry concealed weapons, get a concealed carry permit and carry the weapon, know how to use it. We have to guard ourselves. We have to take care of ourselves, not only spiritually, but physically as well.
It's a little unnerving to be stared at for about a minute straight, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Gosh.
And so that's, you have to be aware there are evil people out there. They do evil things. And that's what I'm saying, is we need to be aware of that, know how to avoid those situations to begin with. That goes with listening to our intuition, listening to our guardian angels. And then if we find ourselves in a situation, what's the out? Where's the safety? Where's the protection? And this day and time, increasingly, we're responsible for our own self-protection. So I encourage people, get a carry permit, carry a firearm, learn how to use it. At the very least, carry mace. Do something so that you're armed, so that you can protect yourself and take care of yourself.
Let's go to Carl in Boston. Hi, Carl. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, George.
Thank you.
Thanks, you guest. I just wanted to share a story. I was at Flat Shoals Road Quick Trip in Riverdale, Georgia. I was getting gas. and I look up, and I see this kid. It looks like this cop's about to hit him, and he's about a foot and a half smaller than him at the time, and then he just grew about 3 feet, was towering over the cop.
Jeez.
And he looked like he was translucent and had lights, like Christmas tree lights all around him. I don't know what to make of it. Can a person...
What was that, John?
Well, I wouldn't have any idea. I've never seen anything similar. I can't discount it. I don't know what the person saw. What was the continuation after the person grew to the...
And what did the cop do, Carl?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I just saw them sitting there, then the cop was talking, then the guy walked off. He got in his car and he left.
He let him go?
Yeah.
Interesting. Is it possible that only Carl saw this and that the police officer, John, didn't even see it?
Well, there could be a number of explanations. This is something that you'd have to go into a lot more detail. You'd have to investigate more, not only physically, but psychically. You can't discount it because I've seen some things that are so strange and so bizarre that it's just, if I told you, you'd go, oh, come on. So I don't know, but it is possible that only Carl was witness to this. Maybe this was some paranormal entity or person or something that manifested in a certain way that only Carl saw, and maybe he was able to mentally influence the police officers to let him go at that stage of the game or whatever. There's no telling. So it's an interesting story. We'd have to do a lot of investigation. But, yeah, very, very strange. Like I say, I can't discount it simply because I've seen so many bizarre and weird things and written about some of those in my books as well. That you can't discount it, but we'd certainly have to do a lot more to try and figure out what it was. But it's an interesting story. Thanks for calling in.
And what's the significance of the Christmas lights all over the guy?
Well, wow, that's a new one to me. I don't know. That kind of beggars my imagination a little bit in and of itself.
Let's go to Monica in Oregon. Hi, Monica. Go ahead.
Guys doing tonight?
We're okay. Everybody's good.
Good. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question, I got a question and maybe one and a half comments. John, what are your thoughts on direct channel? Have you encountered anyone who's like directly channeled an entity?
Well, I tell you, I have a lot of problems with channeling, and the reason why is that people claim to channel various entities and so on and so forth. People claim to channel the reincarnation or the spirit of so-and-so, and it gets to the point of ridiculousness. I mean, how many people can channel Napoleon, or how many people can have been Napoleon coming back reincarnated or whatever, channeling or whatever. The problem that I have with most channels, you could call me a channel if you want to, because I talk to the dead and they communicate messages to
me,
to their loved
ones.
And they're accurate. Okay, fine. You could call me a channel in that regard. You could call me a channel for the paranormal experiences I have. But those are concrete. They're real. We've captured them on film. We've captured them on audio, captured them in photographs, so on and so forth. My problem with most people that call themselves channels and that proclaim to be channeling some entity of whatever origin is that you get a lot of philosophical mumbo jumbo in these messages that doesn't really make a lot of sense. It doesn't really help you. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't heal anybody. It doesn't help anybody to live a better life or to get a better job or to get over an illness. It's basically the same. If you go back to the Seth books, which I read when I was a kid in my teens, and if you go back to the Seth books and even some of the things before that and come on up there, all the people that claim to channel these entities, it's basically the same tired, washed-out message over and over and over and over, and it's high-minded and philosophical and the same old BS of if you're ready, you'll understand it, and if you're not, you'll just have to keep plugging away. And it's this high-minded philosophical discourses on this nonsense of the supposed layers of energy and dimensions and this and that and how things interact. And we're always told that, and we're never told how to make it work or how to make things better. And it's like if I went to the garage to get my car repaired and the mechanic started off on that nonsense, I'd be walking. I would be afoot. You have to have some practicality with spirituality, just like you have with anything else. So if these beings are so evolved and so advanced and so smart and so intelligent and experienced with so many realms of all these dimensions, how come they can't tell us how to get the little sick kids out of St. Jude? You know, let's have some practicality to this stuff. I mean, it's all this high-minded, highfalutin nonsense over and over and over and over that never has any practical application. And that's what I look for in everything. In my readings, it's got to have a practical application. Paranormal investigations, got to have a practical application. Any kind of input from the other side, it's either got to have some meaning or it's just sound and nonsense. So that's my viewpoint on channelers.
Let's go to Daniel in Granite City, Illinois. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, how are you doing, George?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I see a little blue light anytime I think of it. It's a little blue dot. I called last August. I talked about this with George Knapp.
Yeah, I heard that.
I think it was the Archangel Gabriel. I didn't have a name for 3 days in the hospital in Germany. I was born in a military hospital. Can you ask that psychic what he might think it might be?
What's a little blue light in the skies? What does that represent, John? Anything special?
It could be an angelic presence for him. Yeah, it could be somebody letting him know that they're there, they're watching over him. And I always encourage people, ask for yourself. Talk to your spirit guides. Talk to your angels. Talk to them yourselves and ask who's here. What's your message? What do you have for me? The best psychic in the world can't be available 24 hours a day to everybody. You have to take some responsibility for your own growth, your own communication. You have to learn how to do that and access that. So I always encourage people to talk to those guardian angels. Ask those spirits for their direction, for their guidance. But yeah, I would presume that it was some angelic presence, some guardian spirit over him, yes.
Let's go to Ontario, Canada. Hi, Phil. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hope you're having a great night.
Thank you, Philip.
Thank
yep.
you.
Hey, just hoping that maybe you could bring a little clarity to something that I saw when I was a kid.
Okay.
And then maybe if you see anything in the ether around me now that I should be considerate of. Anyway, so back to the story. When I was about 7 or 8, my family and I went camping with some relatives, and we're camping out in the bush, and the kids, they lined us all up. There was about 10 of us in a row. We slept under the stars, and the cars were kind of parked, and there's 4 or 5 cars parked in a semicircle around the campfire, kind of sprawled out. And all the kids, we shared this same experience. We woke up, and we saw on top of the cars, very classical, I recall, like gargoyles that were very large, almost the size of the car, sitting there on their haunches, kind of with a greenish, whitish glow around them. And it startled all of us, of course. We all freaked out.
Right.
And that's all I remember of that event. But even to this day, the relatives that I have, they still, and shared that experience, but they still remember that occurrence.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what you saw, I would describe those as either some kind of nature spirits from the forest or some kind of other winged entities. They weren't demons. They weren't malevolent. They weren't harmful. But they were just manifesting, making themselves known to you. I've seen many, many strange creatures, many strange beings in the woods. And this, again, goes back to the point that when we're looking for contact with the other or other intelligence, don't make the mistaken assumption that it's going to look like us or be like us, because they're not. So you encountered another form of intelligence there, another being, and they were just coming, checking you out, saying, hey, look at these guys out here. What are they doing? And letting you see them, which is a rare and a really neat occurrence to have. And in answer to your question, yeah, you do have a lot of spiritual energy, a lot of spiritual beings around you. Be aware of that. Make contact with that. Ask those beings to help you and to guide you and to help you to help others.
John, give out your websites. Your books are available through there, of course.
Yes, johnrussell.net if you want to get a psychic reading. My credentials are there, over 80 client testimonials. The rates for the reading, the way to make the reading, make the appointment for the reading is there. Writingwithghost.net is for my first book. That's the website that will tell you all about that. Knockintheattic.net is for my second book. And you can order from my websites, or you can go to directly to Amazon, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, enter the title.
And super. And, John, make sure that third book comes out. Get back on the program. Thank you so much. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smiths, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.